was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
All right, Charlie Daniels. Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in again for Tom. I think what we're going to, with me is Keith Jones from Kansas. I appreciate you being here, Keith. It takes a load off me, so thank you for your comments. They're excellent points. I think what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give out the phone numbers for to call Tom, to call on Tom's behalf. If you could call him and get through to him at jail, God bless you. Give it a shot. I mean, he would love it. It's extremely expensive, and I'm not sure if he pays for incoming calls or if there even is such a thing. I think he would probably only be able to get some kind of message. I don't know, but I have to check into that and see if he could get, I mean, he's not going to have like a personal phone in his cell, I'm sure, but if you can get through to Tom somehow, if anybody can do that, that's wonderful. At least put some money on his phone account, because they charge you like $15 for a 15-minute phone call. It's absurd. And so it's, you know, making a couple of calls to your attorneys and legal help can wipe out the financial thing pretty quick. So go to resurrecttherepublic.com and you can donate. There's a PayPal account there. Kick in a couple bucks. I know y'all got a couple of dollars. Get yourself a debit card at Walmart, put 10 bucks on it, and give half of it to Tom, and go out and buy a six-pack of beer and know you did the right thing. Okay, so I'm not advocating drinking, but God bless y'all to donate to Tom. So we're trying to get everybody to call basically two entities. There are two entities in this matter who are the linchpins in Tom's incarceration. Sheriff Trapp, and he's the highest peace officer in that county that's holding him. He's higher than the feds. He's higher than the marshals. That's why it's called a courtesy hold. And this is what they call it. This is not Eric the Freedom Screamer's kind of, you know, slang vernacular. This is not me making up. They call it a courtesy hold. And they call it that because the sheriff is under no mandate to hold Tom whatsoever. He's doing it because he wants to, not because he has to. So make that clear to Sheriff Byron Trapp. Sheriff Byron Trapp of Lane County, Oregon. It's near Eugene, or it's where Eugene is located. And his number is 541-682-4150. That's 541-682-4150. And please call and be polite, but be firm. And let the sheriff know that he's the chief peace officer. Look it up himself on legaldictionary.com. It says sheriff, the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision. It doesn't say except or unless, and then all these exceptions. That's all made up. Those are all fictitious entities. Here comes that word again. I want you to all memorize it as you would memorize anything. The state and society is a fictitious entity, and it cannot be listed as a victim of anything. So unless a victim, a direct victim of a crime can be produced, and swear out an affidavit under penalty of perjury, then there is no crime. So let Tom go immediately. Also, we make sure we don't just call the sheriff. We call the person who actually is the man, or and it's never a woman. Did you notice? This tells you something about their little club here. It's always, we're called the Judicial Vicar and the Vicar General. And I might open that up in a minute because we had, I think, Carol from Idaho last night wanted to break down of the vicar thing. So if our listeners who already know about this would indulge me. I know we have some newer listeners and people who have awakened recently, like myself. I wasn't hip to this vicar thing 15 years ago. I would have been spewing about it then. I've only found out within the past several years. So I'm very new to this. That was one of her questions. You know, was she alone? What is she? How come? And why haven't we heard about the vicars? It's V-I-C-A-R. V as in Victor. I as in intelligence. C as in Charlie. A as in Alpha. R as in repression. And the vicar is the man behind the curtain. And he is actually accessible. They're listed in every diocese, D-I-O-C-E-A-S-E. Diocese of whatever, Boston, New York, Atlanta, L.A. Type in diocese of the nearest biggest city that you are near to, and it will come up Vicar General, and it will give somebody's name. It will say Moderator of the Curia, JCL, and Vicar General. And most dioceses also have a judicial vicar as well as a vicar general. And these are the men behind the courts, and I can prove it. And I've watched. I wouldn't have believed it unless I saw it happen in the courts, like directly, case after case after case myself, and on multiple different fronts, in multiple different places and jurisdictions. So it was obvious when it became such a clear pattern. You know, once, okay, twice, all right, you look again, three times, four, and then it's like, wow, and then a five, six, seven, case after case, and all of a sudden it's like you can't deny that these guys, these vicars, are managing our court system. They manage the bar. All the attorneys, like I just said in the last hour, when you go up on a court proceeding, you got three entities. You got the judge, you got the district attorney who's prosecuting you, and you got your defense attorney or your court-appointed counsel or public defender, whatever, or pro se or pro per, represent yourself. That would be best. But they make that almost impossible now procedurally in the court, and they'll just issue rulings against you because you're not hiring attorneys. And, you know, if you steer a public defender, I have run into ones that were decent, relatively decent. They were okay. Ultimately, though, they're all members of the bar. The district attorney, the judge, and the defense attorney, or the public defender, because they all have to be attorneys as well, licensed in most states, so they don't let them be a public defender. So they're all members of the same private club called the bar, and the bar answers to the vicar's office. I've watched it happen. It got to be where there was nothing else except vicar general managed organizations that were getting appointed over everything by the surrogate administrative courts, and that's where the property is stolen, and that's where the children are seized and trafficked in human flesh. And we know that's what happens in this whole thing out of the Vatican. That's one of their main reasons for being in the dark side of it, and the dark side is now running it. Our caller last night made a great point. Since the Second Vatican Council, it's been pretty much a downhill spiral into a final, completely wipe-out tyranny that has nothing to do with Christ or anything else. It's, once again, largest political structure, largest landowner, it's its own bank, it's its own country, it's got its own intelligence agency. I mean, please, what do you think they're doing? So anyway, so that was surmising and okay, and I heard from a friend of mine, you know, he said, hey, he said, if you really, I'll give you a tip. He said, look into this vicar general thing. So I did. And I didn't really think much of it at the time until I started going into the courts, doing the courtroom observing thing, and I saw what was going on, and it was absolutely crystal clear. Yeah, this vicar is who they're answering to. I saw estates, private property, public administrator appointed estates, children seized by Child Protective Services, one after another. Even the guys who are waiting for Social Security settlements, they're all going off to vicar general organizations. I'm like, oh, my God. So anyway, they do exist. They're right online. You can usually find them and their phone number, and they're the men behind the courts. They and the bigger cases, they know exactly what's going on. And most of it's not really, it's not like they necessarily get together in a smoke-filled room. They have a plan and a format that they go by, a playbook. And the attorneys know they got to execute out of that playbook. And the playbook is always at our expense. That's to put it simply. So it is the vicar general. It is the judicial vicar. I mean, it says judicial vicar online. Whose judicial do you think they're vicaring? Ours. This is it. It's here. So anyway, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said, Vicar General, a priest or lay person responsible for a priest or lay person for a religious corporation responsible for appropriating the principal revenues. That means they're the tax collector for the Vatican on a local basis in your town, in your village. And if it, you may not have a vicar general in your specific locale, but there'll be one in the nearest big city. And believe me, they're extending their jurisdiction through all the counties and towns and the surrounding courts. If you live in a truly free and constitutional and common law respecting county, you know, I'd like to hear about it. I know there's a few in Colorado. I know there's some sheriffs that are coming around. But, I mean, they're still doing property seizures on tax foreclosures. That's not appropriate in a republic that's founded on private property rights and a tax revolution. And they're stealing private property in a tax foreclosure. People's land that they own free and clear, it's insane. No sheriff gets away with calling them. And another thing that rubs me the wrong way, you ain't no constitutional sheriff if you ever had anything to do with any drug war. That's a bunch of BS. So, you know, all these Sheriff Arpaio, oh, he may have a great stand on one or two things like sealing the border, but he's also a Nazi tyrant and a thug. And, I mean, I believe at one point they had some kind of armored vehicles that there were, looked like even a tank, I believe, they were going to use in a drug, absurd. So I want to see if a constitutional sheriff is going to call himself that, you better be against the drug war. You better be against property seizures for any reason. And that's just for starters. So anyway, back to the vicars. The vicar general and the judicial vicar, of course, they work for the archbishop. But the archbishop's usually a little more difficult to get a hold of. A vicar general is usually a priest who has his own parish, his own building, his own church that he has where he says Mass on Sunday. They're more accessible. So he was kind of like the crew boss, you know, on the slave plantation. He's the guy, I mean, you may not be able to, you know, get a word with this plantation owner, you know, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, so to speak. So who are their local henchmen that manage all this stuff? And it was crystal clear. It's right there in plain sight. And the motto of the Illuminati is hide in plain sight. That's their motto. That's not what we make up and call them. That's what they say they are. They call themselves Luciferians, and they say hide in plain sight. Because if you do it right out there in the open, people will be much less likely to believe that it's a problem. Why didn't anybody tell me? This has been going on. I mean, we have cops in Newburgh, New York right now operating for decades with no oath and bond. Their position's been vacant since the 30 days after they were sworn in. They're completely private individuals. Under their own statutes, they could be sued. They should be in prison. They say, well, I never heard of this. People have been paying me to do this for 30 years. Okay, because you never heard of it, so ignorance of the law is an excuse. They use that exact opposite against us. They say ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, they're certainly not playing by that. And so it's highly hypocritical. And then, of course, they say, well, I've been getting paid to do this, so it must be right. Well, yeah, a lot of people who do evil things get paid. Most of the people at the lower level, that's why they do it. It's because they're getting paid. They don't necessarily want to think they're bad people, and they don't think they think bad thoughts, but they're up there upholding an evil system and supporting it with all their acts and actions, and all these local police departments are operating out of the federal playbook now. It's not like there's independent departments. You know, it's hard to find good jurisdictions now. They're almost all bad. A lot of them are getting rid of their good guys and hiring the bad guys. So it's very important to get back to, you know, our local sheriff, the highest peace officer, not your police, not the FBI, not the DEA. The sheriff is the highest, and he needs to exercise his authority as if he's the highest to protect his people, not to persecute them in compliance with these idiotic three-letter agencies that have no jurisdiction outside the 10-mile toilet of Washington, D.C. So the vicar general, the judicial vicar, and the archbishop for the area of Oregon where Tom is being held all pretty much have the same number, and then they have extensions. And I'll leave it up to you people to navigate through if you care about Tom. And if you would want somebody making phone calls on your behalf, if you were incarcerated unlawfully on a victimless allegation, you would want people making calls on your behalf as well. So take some time and make some calls on Tom's behalf. Keep calling until they send you a sworn affidavit from the victim of the crime, and they can't write society or state in the victim line. It has to be a living man or woman. Who's actually complaining that Tom did them harm by being in a room, hotel room that had a gun somewhere in it? That's all he's being charged with. So the Vicar General's and the Judicial Vicar can be reached at 503-234-5334. Okay, their names are, Vicar General is Peter Smith. He's the Vicar General. He's the hands-on court manager for the local courts and the bar. And that's where the, and don't forget, almost all your legislators are in some way related either to the bar or to the military. And it's usually military intelligence, not necessarily good people that infiltrate our, military people in military positions, yes. But military people all throughout the local community running for office, I don't think is necessarily a good idea, but it's not a deal killer. But I think here's my rub. In New York, it was really clear that a lot of people who were unfriendly to freedom and were clearly coming out of the defense intelligence agencies, the bad part of them, were starting to run for political office. Okay, so I don't want people to get the wrong idea that I'm anti-military. I love the military. We need the military. I love the military. I give them a big smooch on their cheek if they would stand up against enemies foreign and domestic. Remember? So I want to drive that home. But back to the vicars. The Vicar General, Peter Smith, and the Judicial Vicar is named Pat Brennan. And call him. Have a chat with a vicar. You always fantasize about who's the man behind the curtain. Can you imagine if I could get together actually have a couple of words with the big cheese? Well, the biggest cheese you're going to get on a local basis, and they're pretty big cheeses because they answer to the archbishop, and the archbishop reports back to Rome. That's about it. The banking establishment and the Church of England and the Church of Rome have unified at the highest level. That's how they got as far as they did into this, down this hole of tyranny. We're pretty far down it. I mean, all these courts are operating out of the same victimless crime playbook, all statutory, one after another, property restrictions, property seizures, restrictions on travel, paperwork for everything, permission. I mean, a DEC guy in New York was a Department of Environmental Conservation state cop, was walking down a creek in the middle of nowhere and wrote a guy a ticket for having a fish in his bucket that was 11 inches instead of 12. I mean, that's absurd. And, of course, there goes half the guy's paycheck. And all these immigrants who are moving to New York are saying, this sucks. I'm going home. One guy from Vietnam. One guy from, one of the Middle Eastern countries. And one that was in chaos, like Syria. He said, I thought this was supposed to be great here. He said, this completely blows. I don't want to be here. You guys are living in Nazi Germany. You can't see it? And, of course, my friend said, yeah, no, I see it. But he was one of the few and far between patriots in the urban populations of New York. I'm hoping that through shows like this, our listenership will grow. So back to the vicars. Vicar General of Oregon is where Pete Tom's being held is Pete Smith. The Judicial Vicar is Pat Brennan. And the Archbishop, his name's Alexander Sample, Archbishop Sample. And we had a caller to this show the other night who said he went to the same school that Mr. Sample went to, and apparently he was a good guy and a caring person. Call him. Leave him a message. Tell him you want a return phone call. Tell him he's trafficking his underlings in the court and the police departments that we know he has power over are trafficking in human flesh, and they're incarcerating somebody unlawfully. They're not even allowing bail, as if that would be legitimate. He should just walk. But they haven't even allowed Tom a bail hearing. I mean, at least give him a bail. He's sitting there being held with no bail when the Constitution of the state and the federal both say you got to give people bail unless it's a murder charge. Then you can hold them without bail. Tom's not even being charged with stealing a pack of bubble gum. He didn't swat a fly off the wall and smush it on. They did nothing. So once again, so important. No victim, no crime. Society and the state cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. So please call the Vicar General, the Judicial Vicar, and the Archbishop of Oregon, because they're the ones that can really push the button. And they'll try to squirm and squeam out of it and say, oh, well, we don't do that. And we don't tell them, look, don't insult my intelligence. We know that, and I watched it case after case, the courts appointing, multiple estates. Children seized by CPS for examination would all go to the Vicar General. Catholic Charities was designated to examine children seized by Child Protective Services. What is Catholic Charities doing examining little children that are seized by the government? Do you all want to go down that rabbit hole? You know what's happening. They're going into the largest pedophile network in the world, and they're using the courts to access the kids, to get the kids. It's crystal clear, time after time, and they actually use the word examine. I was very careful about finding the wording, and it said examine. As soon as the child was seized by the police, then, and the woman who ran CPS was married to the chief of police, so she would locate the children, bring the case forward to her husband, the cop. He'd open a case through the department. They'd submit at the court. Of course, was a judge. It was judge of Schoharie County, New York. I think his name was William Bartlett. George Bartlett III, I think it was. I may be mistaken on his first name. It was Bartlett. It was Bartlett the Younger. And he was seizing, and the court and the police and the CPS were all working in unison to seize as many kids as they could. And the first person that the first entity that was appointed by the court to, quote, examine the children was Catholic Family Charities, which sounds all fuzzy and rosy because it says charities and it says Catholic and people think Christ. Let me tell you, that's how they're getting the kids, by the administrative and surrogate courts, basically building cases where there's no, and there was no evidence. I made very, very clear to do the research on both sides, from the person who was, you know, the mother of the children who were being seized, and people even in the system, and no evidence of anything, acts anywhere of child abuse. It was all procedural stuff. Didn't show up for this or didn't file the right paper to do that. And the kids were seized, and they were looking for any excuse they could to get these kids. It was obvious. And I said, who did the court appoint? Catholic Family Charities, and to examine the children. That's not okay. So that's not where you want to be sending children for examination, to the largest pedophile network, which is the Catholic priesthood. It's just a fact. The largest organized pedophile network in the world. Priests being shuffled around from one parish to another to avoid prosecution, to avoid embarrassment for the church. Then they sign, the attorneys sign a non-disclosure agreement with the victim, give them a check for a couple of $100,000, and it's all gone, and nobody hears about it. Okay, and then meanwhile, there's the courts, the surrogate courts in upstate New York are still appointing the vicar general's office to examine children after they're seized by CPS. Don't tell me the judicial vicar and the vicar generals aren't the men behind the court. They're getting the kids and the estates. And a guy calls me and says, I've got 17 disabilities. I said, I remember. I saw your paperwork. I did. I took him to the hospital once. I looked at his paperwork to make sure he wasn't BSing me. And he had, I counted them, 17 documented disabilities from Strong Memorial Hospital, legitimate disabilities. I mean, this guy needed disability. I mean, I don't begrudge it for the people who need it, charities for the needy. He needed it. He had 17 documented disabilities from the doctor and 6 years. Still waiting for his Social Security settlement, and he calls me and says, they appointed Catholic Family Center over my money. I said, oh, great, oh, gee, here we go again. The Vicar General's got your money, and they wouldn't give him his money. The court appointed the Vicar General over this guy's Social Security settlement, of all things. There's leaving no stone unturned. They're ripping us off at every case, and this went on and on and on, stuff like that. I kept calling the Vicar General, the judicial vicar. It all went back to them. So anyway, the short story was the judicial vicar actually called him back and said, because I said, call the judicial vicar and just be nice and tell him you require his help in this. And oh, and he said, we don't have your paperwork or we couldn't find it, and we're going to get your money going right here shortly. You know, and so where it stands, I'm not sure if he got paid yet. I haven't found out. But this was just recently that this happened. So we'll see what a little more time tells. But you know, the judicial vicar didn't deny that they even had his money. He admitted it. He said, oh, yeah, we lost it. It was something like crap, like he lost the paperwork or his dog ate it or something, some lame excuse. But he was able to make sure he could loosen up and make sure the guy got his money now. He had enough authority to do that. So they're not even denying it. And so you just have to call them on it and put the screws on hard, and that's public pressure. They don't want to be seen. I mean, this is stuff at the highest levels where the real power is the vicar's office, and they are directly powerful over the courts, and the courts are powerful over everything. The courts are far more powerful than the legislators are because they can uphold or strike down any legislation that's passed. It all winds up going into the courts. So I wanted to open that up good and heavy for all the people who, you know, hadn't heard of the vicars. They do exist. You can find them online. There'll be one in a city near you. And for Oregon, in relation to Tom's case, it's Vicar General Pete Smith, Judicial Vicar Pat Brennan and Archbishop Alexander Sample. And don't let them BS you around. I mean, they are directly powerful over the courts, and I mean directly. They don't even try to hide it much anymore. So anyway, their number is 503-234-5334. The vicars of Oregon who are holding Tom unlawfully and can push a couple of buttons and facilitate his release. 503-234-5334. 503-234-5334. Okay, so thanks for indulging me on that, folks. I wanted to open that up for everybody. And the reason you're not hearing this was another question from Carol, I think, yesterday. Why wasn't anybody else talking about this? There's kind of like two general camps and maybe two subdivisions of them. One is they're either working for the reason people don't want to go and talk about this is they're either working for the enemy or they're not. Now, if they're working for the enemy, there are people who are working for the enemy and know they are and doing the wrong thing. And there are people working for the enemy who still think they're doing the right thing and don't really know the evil that they're participating and upholding. We're trying to get through to them. Then there's the people who are legitimately either don't know or don't want to go there. There's kind of an unawake element, and then there's a scared, there's people who don't want to touch it. I think some of the broadcasters are lazy, but generally I would just say this is kind of new. I mean, if you're not taught it in the school, and historically our families don't discuss this very much, you know, the real inherent power structure and what's going on. You hear things about the church this and the Jesuits that, you know, but when you really string it together, it came down, I mean, it was obvious, yeah, the vicar's office and all these courts appointing all these cases to all the organizations that are managed by the vicar, all these Catholic charities and Catholic family centers, these are all under the vicar general and the judicial vicar. This is how they get their money. They're ripping us off through the courts and through unlawful legislation. They control the bar. They control everything. It's basically the attorneys overall. It's not just the courts. I mean, once again, the judge, the DA, and the defense attorney, and the public defender, they're all attorneys. They're all members of the same private club called the bar. So that's, and they all answer to the vicar. That's the man behind the curtain. So give a call to those entities on Tom's behalf. You know, they're the ones, they're the men behind the curtain, so to speak. And we need to call them, you know, for Tom and not forget that this is Tom's show. And we need to do everything we can to get him back on the air, get him to be a free man again. And be polite to the vicars and archbishops, but be firm and let them know that we know. And so, you know, you have some people who aren't awake, so hopefully I'm getting through to them. People are waking up and getting the knowledge. I only woke up a few years ago to this, so don't feel like you're all Johnny come lately, folks. This is new to me until recently. And I didn't quite believe it at the time, but I went and researched it, started going into the courts to really find out, and then it was super, super obvious. Okay, so, and then, of course, there's a bunch of broadcasters that are too scared to bring up because they're going to be accused of Catholic bit. Okay, we got a break coming
this
up.
This is the most this is Eric transparent the administration.
We'll be back right after this break on the RBN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Father of the moon, which built my sails, cross the sea of years. With no provision, but no basis, close the straits of fear. Oh,
welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. Derek the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom LaCavara, who's sitting in jail in Lane County, Oregon. And I'm going to wrap up a little more on Tom's case, and we're going to get some more comments from Keith before we close out the show. If you want to call in and make any questions or comments, feel free to chime in at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, and we welcome your calls. We were responding to a caller from last night, I believe, Carol, and explaining exactly what the Vickers are, which are the hands-on courtroom managers for the Vatican at your local level. They're the most accessible man behind the curtain, so to speak. I've witnessed them being rewarded by the courts very well through all kinds of property and persons. We're talking about the kids before being seized by the courts and dished off to the Vicar General's office. Happened time after time. Seen it myself, case after case. So anyway, we encourage people on Tom's behalf to call the Vicar General, the Judicial Vicar, and the Archbishop of Oregon, where Tom is being held. They can push the buttons to get him released. They really can. And don't let them tell you otherwise. Put the heat on them. Be nice, be firm, be polite, but be firm. 503 234-5334. These are the men behind the curtain, behind the courts. This is where all the tyranny is orchestrated. And they're all the members of the bar are going by the same playbook. And the members of the bar not only include the judge, the district attorney, and the defense attorney, and the public defender's office, but also most of your legislators are also attorneys and members of the bar. So the people passing the laws, the people enforcing the laws in the courts, the people prosecuting these unlawful statutes called laws, they're all members of the same private club. And they all answer to the vicar. So please call on Tom's behalf. The vicar general is Pete Smith. The judicial vicar is Pat Brennan. The archbishop is Alexander Sample. And I'm glad the break came when it did before. I was just going to start ragging at the other talk show hosts for not talking about the vicars, because they do know this is where the power is. And a lot of them are scared. They don't want to go there. They're worried about repercussions or, you know, people criticizing them for telling the truth. And people who tell the truth always get criticized. Look, I'm not against anybody exercising their religious beliefs, but what are they doing sending generals, vicar generals? Note the use of the military term, folks. I mean, it's so obvious. Over to our court system to manage every diocese, and then then just traffic in human flesh and have estates and private property and social security settlements and money after trillions of dollars lining their pockets at our expense, trampling our freedom and all this admiralty law, all the man-on-the-land stuff, all the admiralty law, all the de facto du jour. This doesn't come from the minds of socialist idiots in America. This comes from totalitarian dictators who emanate out of Rome and London. And, yeah, they're in Washington, too. I'm not saying we're not part of this, but there's higher levels. The people you see, this country was sold out long, long time ago, pretty much finalized in 1933. We were reading from the letters of Joe Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's father, who was a hardcore banker, and who called it a great victory that the government was able to seize people's gold and take the nation off the gold standard so the currency became worthless. And then the bankers had us by the you-know-whats, and it was downhill, all into spiraling down from there. So anyway, please, I encourage people. I hope I've made the case on the vicar thing. I wanted to give full explanation of that. The dictionary itself says, a priest or layperson for a religious corporation responsible for appropriating the principal revenues, that's our money, and it goes on to say, and to assist the bishop or archbishop in his administrative and judicial duties. I mean, it's right there in front of us. We even had a vicar general. One vicar general in Tennessee tell one of our courtroom observers that he said, he said, you don't want to talk to me? He said, call the archbishop. He controls all the legislative and legal issues. He came right out and submitted it. They said they don't really even try to hide it. But they'll try to deny that they have any power to fix it, even though they're obviously the ones behind it, the tyranny. So don't let them give you a load of BS. Keep calling them until Tom's released. Fill up their mailbox and start doing it tomorrow, please, on Tom's behalf, because he's being held. We're out here being able to enjoy our freedom, or what's little left of it, and Tom's incarcerated in Oregon. And the real reason he's being held, the truth is, they don't want him covering the Clive and Bundy trial in Nevada. And see, that's where basically what Tom had planned. And they came up with whatever they could. They found a weak spot. And they're just going to hold him now without bail, even though both constitutions, state and federal, say bail must be provided unless it's an allegation of murder. And Tom is certainly not accused of hurting anyone. They're not even alleging that. So anyway, Keith, you want to make some comments?
Well, the whole court system is such a joke, because what I was going to finish with earlier was the fact that when they did the American Bar Association in 1875, you read through it, it makes it clear that they have no jurisdiction in the United States of America. I mean, how much more simpler do you need it? I mean, the whole thing is that people have got to wake up and realize that who's controlling what here. And if it's done correctly, you know, and I've seen people, or actually heard people, who've actually took and turn around and judge or charge the judge with contempt of court because they wouldn't follow the rules. You know, their rules now, by the way. And, you know, it's really a matter for us to take and wake up and realize what's got to be done. This is why you touched on earlier, sometime we need to have a show on what we call self-governing counties and how we as individuals control the laws, how we charge their, not the law, how we control the courts, how we control the schools. I mean, how we control our own town and township. Because when people start waking and realizing that we can control it, because it works from the bottom up, not the top down. A lot of things are, you don't need, we only need a fraction of the government at that point in time. Because we are the government at that point in time. I mean, let's not get me started. I we don't have a time, so, okay.
Well, you can feel free to expand upon that, Keith. We got some time because that'd be nice to wind up the show with some solutions. We got 20 minutes. Talk about the self-governing county. You don't need much property to start, do you?
No, we only need 4 square miles, which is just under 2,500 acres. You can actually set that up as a self-governing its own because you can actually set up more. A good example, if you go back and study, see, we're used to calling everything counties. Because that's how the corporation set everything up. But if you go back in history, you'll find out everything was set up in town and townships. Okay? Well, where I come from in Iowa, we actually at one point in time had just over 1,500 towns. And so each one of those, and then they had, you know, there'd be like 20, 25, 30 towns in that township. And that's what the sheriff was oversaw was the township itself. Not the town. The town was controlled by the, the constable and the militia. Okay? And so realistically, we've got to go back in order to do this because how many, states came in to this country or under the union under a corporation? So we've got to go back, you know, before. So the whole thing's got to go back to the town and townships. Okay? Well, with doing that, that means we've got to take and go back and allow the people to control the government. Now, if you go back and study from the very beginning when this country was first founded, there was actually three types of what you call self-governing deal. One was the British, where the British still had control, which is very obvious. That's why we had the Boston Tea Party, because they wanted to tax and keep control over this country. There's proprietary, which is part of the British, and the charter. Now, the charter is what we want because charter leaves us total control of our country or total control of the town and township. And with that, you set up, what we do is you basically set up a letter of correspondence or a group of correspondence, committee correspondence. They actually put together, for better lack of a better word, is a constitutional charter, which is basically a fancy word for a business plan, which will allow the laws in that town and township. Okay? A good example that I like using is, you know, you brought up earlier, is that the sheriff is the one that is final control of that county. Well, the same thing's true when you set up your charter. If we have outside interference from the federal government or whatever, well, we take that as one of two things. We can take that as an act of war on a domestic level, or they can go ahead and leave and let us take care of what we need to. When you set up that area, you need to do, we don't need the flag that we have now. The flag that we use now actually is not a true flag. Okay, it's because it's a corporate flag. Okay, it's married to arbitrary law. Okay, what we need to do is go back to what we call a peace flag. And that's when we were not at war, and that's the whole idea of the self-governing, that we don't want to do war. We want to just have our country back and try to live the best we can. with doing that, you set up the flags, one on each direction, north, south, east, and west. And again, in that, you make your charter that we have set up our peace flag, and anything, any infringement upon that is taken by trying to take our land back or our county back by conquest. Okay? From there, you start building from there, as I say, because we start taking and developing our schools. You can take and homeschool the kids, but the point is you get away from the public school corporate, propaganda. Okay? You usually have, instead of having a mayor and a city council, you will have commissioners. And they're the ones who oversee what's going on. But what you do there is, let's say, for instance, somebody says, well, we want to take and have Sunday, you know, a total day of rest, okay? Well, you set up yourself a resolution. You take and make it public, 45 days. People have the right at that point to vote on it. You take it, if it passed, you take it to the commissioners. They sit down. And you tell them, okay, this has been passed by the people of this township, and now we need to enforce this as a piece of legislation of law.
Yeah, I like that part about the people passing it and then going to the commissioners and saying, here, now you go do this, rather than what we've gone way far off course, where we've delegated all the power to these few commissioners or legislators or whatever you want to call, whatever they call the representatives right. In your district. They have different names for them everywhere. State right. senators, state legislators, assemblymen, different names, but all basically playing out of the same playbook. And when they're all members, at least in the almost everywhere in the East Coast, they're all members once again of the bar. And so they're all playing out of the same country club, so to speak. And
right.
you're not going to, and that's how we've gotten how far down the track, rather than the people taking the lead and doing what they need to do and presenting the ideas for legislation to their representatives and saying, do this. You know, we've just said, okay, go, you just guys, just go take care of it all. We've become, as soon as people became, I don't like the word politically lazy. It is too light of a word. Politics sounds like it's a game. It's like a chess, like a little board game that you play. It's not, it's freedom. This is, we've become freedom mm-hmm. lazy. And it's we've become, and where that goes is eventually to complete slavery. Look what's happening in other parts of the world that went under hardcore tyranny. We're going straight in that direction right now, and it needs to be turned. And hopefully, these times and the people taking that, don't forget that the new administration can only do so much. We need to demand they do the righteous thing. I like to see an executive order that severed diplomatic ties with the Vatican. It's not necessary that we have ambassadors and political ties directly to an institution that's claiming to be a nation. I mean, that's the root of our problems right now. This is the vicars. That's, it goes back to the vicars, judicial and vicar generals. No abuse of the military term.
Also,
they don't call themselves generals for
right.
nothing.
But there is a way around that. If people get educated, though, too. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is the fact that they're trying to hold us enslavement under one amendment, and that's the 14th Amendment. 14th and 15th, 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment was never ratified. If people wake up and realize that, that means we no longer are federal citizens of this country. And that's what they're holding us under caption, the idea of that we have to be a 14th Amendment citizen. It's never ratified, people. So that means we're not a citizen of the federal level. We are a citizen of the state where we are. Like where I'm at now, I'm a Kansas state citizen. Okay. If I move to Colorado, I become Colorado state citizen. Okay. And if people start realizing and pick up on that, that says Reeves because they can't do it. You stepped outside the arena now all the way around because the lawyers can't have no jurisdiction, you're no longer a federal citizen, how much more, you start tripping on the power all the way around. When you strip so much of their power away, which is what they've been doing, but people don't know it, what happens? They eventually have to, it's again, you have to learn how to use their laws against them. And when we start learning how to use their laws against themselves, then they run into troubles.
Yeah, and even if they do ratify, even if, not that it was, but even if an unlawful amendment was ratified, you can't legalize the unlawful, and people cannot be ordered by anyone to do. I mean, and the 14th Amendment was clearly a subjugation is what it's called.
Yeah,
we were all made subjects. We were all classified as a citizen, which is a subject to the corporate United States. And just go back in your, I was reading through Roman history, and it said in 212 AD, all free men of the empire, of the Roman Empire, became citizens. Did you get that? All free men became citizens. That means you transferred from a free man status to a subject of the state. And this has happened before. And where did it happen before? It happened in Rome. This is the Roman plan. Read your Roman history. I believe it was 212 AD. All free men of the empire became citizens. That's exactly what happened to us with the 14th Amendment. It said all slaves are now free, and now, oh, by the way, all free men are now citizens. It's almost exactly what the 14th Amendment says. It came in under the disguise of freeing the slaves. Okay, all former slaves are freed, and everyone now is considered to be a citizen of the United States. Everyone, oh, yay, I'm a free citizen. You ain't no free citizen. That's a complete oxymoron. There's no such thing as a free citizen. If you're a citizen, you're a slave and a subject. You've been subjugated. Mm-hmm. If you're a free man or if you're a free woman, you need to call yourself that and get rid of this. The word citizen has been completely warped and sold to us as a false bill of goods to somehow think that we're good Americans if we're citizens. No, you're an obedient slave to the state if you're a citizen, but if you're a free man or a free woman, then that's what you are.
Right. Well, that's why I'm bringing this up, because see, if you move away from that, you become not just a free person, but you actually become a man on the land. And when you become a person on the land, you're no longer under corporate courts. Your only way you can be tried is under common law. So you've stripped them again. Okay, they want to go to jury trial. Okay, you got to find under both the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution, it says you have to be tried by your peers. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to find 12 people who are all think they're all 14th Amendment people, and turn around and say, "I'm sorry, they're not my peers. I'm a man on the land.
Right.
I am under common law." Well, what are they going to do?
There was a story
I read a couple of years ago about a gentleman that actually went to trial, and he said, I need peers, my peers. He challenged the court. They couldn't find 12 people that knew what they were, so they had to drop the case. Again, you're stripping them of their power.
Education is the key.
I'm sorry?
That's why education is
exactly.
The key. That's why I try to bring knowledge to people. Once again, folks, if you want solutions, print out a jury nullification flyer and get your rear end down to the county or state courthouse or the federal courthouse. You'll get the most active ones are the state and county courthouses. They're pretty much unified. In New York, all the courts, even the small town courts, don't say town of such and such. They say unified court system of New York State, all of them. So they're all pretty much under the same playbook. But go to the busiest courthouse near your neighborhood, and just down to the local town traffic court in many of these jurisdictions, there's dozens and dozens of people being dragged in there, sometimes hundreds. I heard the town of Penfield was bringing in 170 in one night, and they were running court every night. And these are just small, upstate, New York, middle-class, medium-sized suburban towns, and they're just getting completely ripped off. And so get down to the busy courthouse, and especially down to the county courthouse on jury selection day. And in a busy jurisdiction, there might be 60, 70, 80, 100 people out front. If they're selecting juries for two trials, which they often do. They do two jury selections at the same day to do it all at once. It could be 100 people in that line out front, 50 people in each jury pool, and they take 12 out of the 50. I noticed the jury pool's completely stacked with people who are in the system and reliant and dependent upon the system. Very few independent business owners and ranchers and farmers and truckers and people like that. It was very stacked. I mean, an enormously high number of the people had police in their immediate family. And that was not a normal representation of society. It was clear they were picking the jury pool in a very biased manner to favor the system. And there's all kinds of CPAs and paralegals and, you know, just it was obvious what was going on to anybody who was awake and, you know, observant to the courts. And this is why courtroom observing, which is what I do, is so important. And I want to encourage people to get jury nullification flyers printed out and get down on jury selection day and hand those flyers out in the morning when the doors are just about to open, the lines forming out front. Do some activism and go down and educate people on jury nullification, because they're the final. This is why the Bundys in Oregon walked away free men, because the jury exercised jury nullification. They didn't care what case the government made or what statute they claimed they broke. Look, these guys didn't hurt anybody. They saw there was no victim to any of the crime and or any of the alleged actions, and so they walked away. And that's jury nullification in its purest sense. It was a huge victory. There was a lot of jury nullification broadcasting, flyers being handed out. I heard they were writing jury nullification information with chalk on the sidewalks, so people, when they were walking up to the courthouse, would see on the sidewalk. That's a great idea. So, you know, stuff like that, you know, but definitely hand out the flyers. They can't interfere with you doing that. If you're not blocking any doorways or getting in anybody's face, just walk down the line in the morning about 8:30 before the doors to the courthouse open and pass it out to everybody on jury selection day. Call ahead of time, find out when it is, go down there and do some activism, do something for freedom. We all need to do something for freedom every day, or we're going to wind up complete slaves. And so pick a mission, even if it's a phone call on Tom's behalf to the Vicar General in Oregon. And once again, the Vicar General in Oregon for Tom's release is 503-234-5334. I'll say it again. Write this down and make the calls. We need to call the Vicar General and the Judicial Vicar in Oregon. They're holding Tom unlawfully. Let him out immediately. You're trafficking in human flesh. Classic maneuver by the Catholic Church. We want you vicars to open the door. We know you're the power brokers behind the courts and the bar and the legislators. Shine the light on these guys, and they'll eventually, I've noticed, if there's enough public pressure, they always will give in to do the right thing, which is let Tom out. But there has to be a lot of public pressure. So we're counting on you all out there in the audience listening to this right now. And I appreciate you all joining us tonight. Once again, this is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom. We encourage you to call the Vickers at 503-234-5334. Please call on Tom's behalf. He needs our help. We need to be activists. You can at least make some phone calls. If you want to donate, it's resurrecttherepublic.com. If you want to call, the Vickers is 503-234-5334. And the other talk show hosts don't really want to talk about this, but I proved my case, and the victors are the men behind the curtain, and they need to be exposed. And I know there's risk in doing this. I'm taking the risk. All it takes is a series of people with guts, and we're good to go. Thanks, folks, for joining us on the RBN Network.
Photo ops.
Hey, this is Jimmy from Zipa. I want to talk to you about something that really bothers me, snoring abuse. It's a real thing. You hear me? Abuse. And it's abuse that's been going untouched for far too long. Guess what? I'm going to touch it. I'm going to touch it like crazy. Wake it up and make it a known thing here. Snoring abuse is not a victimless crime. You go ahead and you snore, you're hurting others because you're taking away from their very important thing called sleep. People need their sleep so that they can function. You hear me? There's millions of people that are snoring night after night, and they're not doing anything about that. And if you're the one who's snoring, you better go to Zipa.com and get this fixed immediately. That's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. You need to stop snoring abuse now. What about your children? They're not getting any sleep because you're snoring? Unacceptable. Order now. Go to Zipa.com. That's ZYPPAH.com. That's Happy Z spelled backwards.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.